Okay, we're continuing with our look at Ganim Unah, the Garden of Faith by Rav Shalom Arush, learning the Hebrew version of the book, and we're on page 49. We've been speaking about Emunah, strange enough. I think that's what Rav Arush is talking about. There's a lot to talk about. There's 370 pages worth of Emunah. We're on 49. We've still got a long way to go. Right, there's a lot to learn. He revised the book four times. Right? More and more to add. He said about himself that he goes through Gan Emunah himself. It's his book, he wrote it, but he goes to learn it. It's the greatest thing. I've read it myself. I've read it in English. I've read also, not all of it actually through, but I read it in the Hebrew, like at least the first part. And then I started giving these classes for the online shiur. And that was like to go through it again. And now to go through again, like in this forum. And each time I'm coming up with my own new chiddushim, so to speak, as it's coming out. The simple things are the ones we overlook. Right, we come in, we get into the yeshiva on the back of Gan Emunah usually. A lot of people come to the yeshiva because they read this book. But once you've read it, well, I read that one, right, put it away, now let's get on to the main stuff. And it's not like this is the main stuff. And Hashem hides his light in those places that get overlooked easily. Right, and it's, you know, you see someone still reading the Garden of Emunah, you think, oh, he's still on the level of reading the Garden of Emunah. But actually he's not. If he's reading the Garden of Emunah for the second, third, 27th time, he's actually on a very high level to keep going over the fundamentals. So we're talking about prayer. Prayer is fundamental of Emunah. We can't stop talking about prayer and how important and how relevant it is. Without prayer, I don't have Emunah. The two things come as a package. I can't have one without the other. To have Emunah means that I believe in Hashem. What does it mean that I believe in Hashem? It doesn't mean that I simply believe He exists. That's not a big chiddush. It's not a big deal to believe in Hashem. To believe in the reality of Hashem, what it means that Hashem exists. Not the fact that He does exist, just that fact, but what it means. The fact that He exists means that He is in control of everything. And that He is only good. And that He can change anything at any time. Everything is within His hands. And I'm His creation, and He loves me. And He only does good. And with all that information, if I'm actually holding by that position, then I would stop praying. Right? The Gemara Brachot says, Alavai, a person will play all day long. Right? If we realized the power of our prayers, we wouldn't stop praying. Every single word does something. It does something. Every single word of prayer. Doesn't matter, big or small. Rabbeinu says that a person goes to do his bodhisattva and he says nothing other than Ribono Shel Olam for an hour. That's all he says, Ribono Shel Olam, because he's got nothing else to say. He's speechless, he's got nothing to say. He says Ribono Shel Olam for an hour. He says, that's very good. Mamash, that's very good. Did a lot. Rabbi Natan Mibrezov Amer, Rabbi Natan says, "B'chomakom she'ani roeh chisaron, in any place that I see a lacking, or she'lo palu v'chlal ala davar zeh, either he didn't pray at all on this thing, or she'palalu ma'at, or he only prayed a little bit. And whenever I see a lacking, there's only one of two possibilities," Rabbi Natan says. "Either someone didn't pray at all, or if they did pray, they only prayed a little bit. They didn't pray enough. They're the only two options. Any lacking that exists doesn't need to be there. Doesn't need to be a lacking. Either the person didn't pray on it at all, or they didn't pray enough. They're the only two options. There's no third option. So really, we have no excuse for our lackings. And we can't complain. We can't complain. We have any lackings, and we have lots of lackings. Right? So, the fact we have lackings, that's a given. Our response to them, so that's that's in our hands. How do we deal with them? If we complain, if we're upset, then we either didn't pray on that, or we didn't pray enough. And if it's a big lacking, so I need to pray more, it's fair enough. You don't get anything for free. You don't get the car with the swimming pool and the Rolls Royce and the house and the villa and the 15 children all in yeshiva. You don't get it all just on a 5-minute, Hashem, please sort it out for me. But it's not going to do it. And the other way of speaking about this is, though, of course, that the lacking is subjective towards the person. Whether or not person feels lacking, right? Rav Yishai was just talking there about Rav Yitzhak Bender and whoever the other individual in that story, right? But whoever he was, whatever his name was, I can't even remember, who was very poor. Here's a guy who's very poor. So obviously has a lacking. To what do we say there? He didn't believe in Hashem, he didn't pray enough. What we can say, I don't know the situation, I don't know him, right? But what we can say is he didn't feel the lacking. He was very happy the whole time. He didn't feel the lacking. Meaning he didn't have a lacking. To other people could say there's a lacking, right? People look on whatever, I know people in Meshurim or whatever, and say, oh look, they're lacking this, they're lacking that, they're lacking TV, they're lacking internet, they're lacking, right? Holidays in Hawaii, they're lacking all this stuff. But who's the lacking for? If the individual's not lacking, right? They're not missing out. I don't feel a lacking. Just because I don't have, so there's a difference between not having and feeling a lack. So the lacking is cured by prayer, meaning that either it's going to get fulfilled, or I'm just not going to feel the lacking, I'm going to actually understand what's going on. Right, so for example, if I don't have Parnassa right now, I can pray to Hashem on it. If I feel bad that I don't have Parnassa, so I need to pray on it.
You think it's because somebody's exposed to something, that's why they feel that they're lacking certain things?
No, it's like I would say the other way around. I start off by feeling a lacking. So for example, I lose my job. I don't have Parnassa. So now I have a lacking. I have a lack of Parnassa and I feel it. So what's happened? So well, I need to pray on it. And Hashem will fulfill that lacking. For sure. Through prayer. Either because he's now going to give me a job and give me money, or through my prayers, I'm not going to feel any lacking anymore. I'm going to know that it's from Hashem, it's for my own good, and it's fine. You're right. I don't have Parnassa right now. I've got a problem with it. I'm okay with it. I don't have a lacking. I don't have a lacking anything. Not feeling it. If I'm feeling it, so I'm not praying enough. Meaning, so the two options, I'm not saying that that's how Hashem deals with it. Right, just pray on it and you won't feel it. Right, it'll go away. It's like a sedative. It means it won't be a lacking for me anymore. I don't have to necessarily have it. I can have a lacking for, as a kid, I always wanted a big red Porsche. Oh, small red Porsche, right? Don't come in the time. Right? I feel a lacking for that. But now I've grown old, I don't lack a Porsche. Right? I don't have a Porsche, but I don't lack it. Because it's not something that I'm looking for now. The same can be true with our lackings, things that we think we need. We can soon realize, actually, that I don't need that. And it's not a lacking anymore. You're right, I don't have it. I don't have the Porsche. I don't lack it anymore. Through prayer. Prayer can also give me that, can also fulfill it, and Hashem can give me a red Porsche and then fulfill the lacking that way. It depends on if it's good for me. If it's good for me to have, then Hashem will give it to me. And if it's not good for me to have, then Hashem will show me why it's not good for me, and I'll agree with him. And you're right, I don't need that $1 million. I was praying on $1 million for 10 years. I actually realized that you don't need $1 million, so I don't lack it now.
Did you get the Porsche?
Not yet. But
you're still praying for it.
No, but it's not on my lacking list. Right. So.
But if you ask.
Yeah.
You were talking about the difference between Hawaii and Meir Shirim.
Yes.
After being in both, I prefer Meir Shirim.
Right.
Even though I've been, lived on Hawaii and I was 3 blocks away from the beach. Meir Shirim is far better.
Right. But look, as we grow in our spirituality, we realize that all this Gashmiut is not where it's at. I went out last night with my wife for a drink, We went to Emek Rephaim. Now, 10 years ago, before we made Aliyah, we used to come to Israel, usually once a year, from England. And we'd often stay near Emek Rephaim, and we'd walk down there and imagine how great it would be to live in Israel, to be in there, right? Very nice part of town. And back then, we had cash, for Hashem. Hashem gave us good jobs, and we'd eat in the fancy restaurants. And now we don't have so much cash, right? So we went out for a drink rather than for a meal. But what I learned last night, we had a very interesting conversation, is that really we'd come to the stage now that we're not missing the stuff. That what looked like it was where it's at, you know, this is the height of enjoying yourself. It was like, do you want to be here? Actually, no. I'd rather be at home sitting on the couch. Right, this hot apple cider, had a nice hot apple cider, a place called the Focaccia Bar. Told anyway, their hot apple cider, which is exactly the same hot apple cider that I could have made at home. Right, they use the same apple concentrate with a bit of hot water. Told they cut up an apple and stick it on the top. But right, I could have been there breathing. Right, so we got to that realization that I wasn't lacking that anymore. Like even a few years ago, I'd be lacking the fact that I wasn't eating out in these nice fancy places and whatever. I'm still missing, that's part of me that, you know, that was still there. But the lacking, but we change, Baruch Hashem, as we grow closer to Hashem. So we need less, all this material stuff.
It's like every addiction, right? It's like any other addiction, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's so like, that the to go out to fancy restaurants, it could be, Rabbeinu called it ta'avat achila. Like the fact that you want all the taste, all different foods, and all that. We have that for sure. Ta'avat achila. We have.
All right, so I can hear what you're saying with regarding you know, physical pleasure, kind of a thing. But you know, I keep thinking of several people that I know that for years have been diving for a shift,
right?
And they're still feeling that lacking, and right, they're still praying, it's not happening. So,
okay. So for a shidduch, there are some rules that apply. And the rules that apply are one rule that Rabbi Nathan's just told us. Either you haven't prayed at all, or you haven't prayed enough. There's another rule is, the way that you want to go, they lead you. Right? So a spiritual rule, the way that you want to go, the Gemara says, they lead you. Rav Choice also says, nothing. There's nothing stronger in the world than Ratzon. Ratzon is the strongest force in the world, desire. Nothing stands in the way of desire. If you want it, you can do it. My good friend, well, I call him a good friend, but we used to be friends when I lived in Yad Binyamin, my neighbor, Bobby Rosenberg, the Talmid of Rav Rosenfeld. Rav Rosenfeld was one of the Gedolei Ador in America 20, 30 years ago. Anyway, Bobby was a Talmud of his, he was like 20, early 20s. And there was a few Talmudim, especially Balei Teshuva. Bobby was Balei Teshuva as well. Anyway, one day, Rav Rosenfeld turned to Bobby and to his friend, both of them, they were like chavutzas, and said to, I think it's time you guys started looking for a shidduch. So Bobby said, top, okay, Rav. And the Rav said, start looking. So Bobby said, so I went home and thought, gosh, I should start looking around then. He said, the next day, my friend, who was ex-mafia, who was the other guy in the story, also like 20-year-old. So the next morning, Bobby tells it, that the friend knocks on Rav Rosenfeld's door. Bing! Rav opens the door, and the friend, I don't know his name, but we'll protect the innocent by not knowing his name, right? Turns to the Rav and says, here, which one? What? Which one? Right? Rats on. If you want to do it, nothing stands in the way. Absolutely nothing stands in the way. If you want it. There's absolutely no reason not to have a shidduch. Not to have a shidduch. There is no reason. For anyone. There are plenty, plenty of options. The right one, this one, that one. Top. Am I prepared to give in and concede and be nice and lower myself? They're all different issues. But Ratzon, compromise, right? Ratzon, nothing stands in the way of Ratzon. Rav Yosef here, who's been looking for, not here, but he usually sits there, right? Who's been looking for a shidduch for many years, now in his 40s, I believe, right? Will tell you, he sat in this class last week and said it, right? So I'm not saying anything that he wouldn't say himself, is that a shidduch? That he learned himself, he learned, meaning he didn't know, he learned that actually he doesn't want a shidduch. He's been praying for, right? I really want to, actually deep down I don't want to. And a lot of people are like that. A lot of people actually, they're doing, going through the motions because they know that's what they should be doing. But deep down, they don't want. Meaning, no. Why? Not like because they're evil, wacko, or whatever. It means, usually fear, right? Fear is whatever fear it is. I can handle it, I'm not ready, I can't do it, I've seen what happens when it goes wrong. Whatever the fear is. So, they're not there yet, they're not ready. When he's ready, it's going to happen. We just seen it, right, in this class,
yeah.
In the last 2 weeks, everyone getting married, everyone getting engaged now. It's like, but it's not surprising because you see it's when the first person does it, everybody else follows, right? The famous case of Roger Bannister, the 4-minute mile, right? No one could run a 4-minute mile, right? It's just impossible, can't be done. As soon as Roger Bannister did it, the next week, 4 other people did it,
yeah.
Right? You just, so when you see your friend, right, Tom, you know what?
Possible.
Yala, right? There is other factors too, but generally speaking, the rules apply across the board. Whatever we want, and for us too. Now I'm still waiting for my £1 million. I don't really want £1 million. Still waiting for whatever. I don't really want it yet. Truth deep down, if I knew myself, I have to pray on that. Hashem, I see that I don't want to get married yet. I see that I'm not ready. Please help me get through that stage. Right? To pray on the truth, not to pray from a place of lie. Hashem, why haven't you sent me a shidduch yet? I really want to get married. Prayer's going nowhere. It goes into the sheker box, right? And it's not doing anything. It can't go up because Hashem knows I don't want that. Hashem's not going to answer a false prayer, right? You don't really want that, do you? No, I don't. So, he knows that. He's not going to. What's he going to do? Drag me kicking and screaming and say, here, marry this one. I don't want it. And even if he does send me the right girl, they're all right, right? I'm still, she's not right. It didn't work. There's no, right? There's going to be 1,000 reasons why it's not right. Tov, that's shidduch. Right. Yes.
No, just talking about Ali Shirk. Because Hashem may want a little more strengthening, let's say, of emuna, or happiness, or holiness, or would it be that,
if
you really don't know where you stand until you're married, you really can't assess it.
If I feel I'm ready, then I'm ready. Right? Okay. When do you know you're ready? When I know that. When I feel it. When I think I'm ready, I'm ready. In truth, we don't need any of these things. Right, I had many conversations over many years with a good friend of mine in the UK who's now my age, 42, 43 now, and he's still not married. And we went through all these conversations. And he said, yeah, but I don't need to have enough money and I don't have a good job. And then, right, and when I get this, that's not the way marriage works. Right, it doesn't work on having any particular characteristics or traits or money or whatever. It works on just because you want it to work. Right, kindness doesn't rely on anything. It just relies on kindness. You can give kindness every day. You don't need anything, money in your bank account to be kind.
But don't you have to be kind in order to attract a kind person?
No, you're going to get whoever you need.
Uh-huh.
When you stand under a chuppah, she is your soulmate. She's your bashert. When you go through the marriage process, she now becomes the other half of your neshama. Which is why there's no one can complain that before the wedding she was amazing, and after the wedding she turns into a monster. Yeah, because she's now the other half of your soul. Right? She wasn't before. She was a wonderful person. Now she's the other half of your soul. You're like, what's going on here? Oh yeah, Tom, you welcome to the mirror. Right? She's now joined to you, and that's it. Right? But that's it. It's good to know who you are, right? You get to know who you are through your spouse.
That was serious?
Yeah, 100%. Everything I just said is funny, but it's 100% serious.
Read the Garden piece. It's really good.
Right? So,
So success is going to come through. Success is going to come through Hashem, through prayers, and that's the Yetzer trying to come with the imagination. Somebody is not good enough, or whatever reason.
Or you're not good enough.
The Yetzer is coming with some type of negative emotion to try to knock the person.
Yeah. For 2,000 years, the way people got married is, but they got to meet them once, twice, if that, and that was it, right? But Jews have had wonderful marriages throughout the centuries, apart from the last 40 years, right? Because now we start picking ourselves, right, and messing everything up, right? Why? Because marriage has nothing to do with going out with her for 5 years, making sure everything's perfect.
But now
it's
equality.
Got nothing to do with that.
Now there's equality.
As well. But marriage is only to do with if two people want it, it's going to happen. Right? You get married to someone at the age of 13, 15, 18, whatever it was, and you... Right, because you know that this is the person that you're going to care for, look after, work with, and that's it. Finished. That's the only thing that a person needs, a desire
to build a home.
To build a home, a desire to give in, to compromise, to do what I need to do to make it work. That's it.
You don't look for your number one, you look for your equal. Is that what you're saying?
No, look... Anyone that you get to the chuppah with is the one. Now we are in a difficult situation because we have to live through, we have to get through the mindset of the modern age, which is she's got to be this, she's got to be that, she's got to, I know,
vote. And you've got to be a certain way.
Yeah, but we have to know that it's all demonic, that it's not real. It's got nothing to do. It depends what your aim is. If your aim is to marry a supermodel, so fine. So you need to go and find one and then marry her. If that's the aim. If your aim is to have a happy marriage, then all that other stuff is irrelevant. Because all the other stuff, what she looks like, what family she came from, what clothes she wears, has nothing to do with having a happy marriage. Absolutely nothing.
So Jonathan was raising a point as well. I think that.
From a single person.
From a single person, that he himself needs to work on certain issues before he can even go into that arena.
Look, it would be good, but it shouldn't stop you. Meaning, my wife says, for example, it's very good to read the book, Gan HaShalom, before you get married. Right? There's no point getting yourself into a difficult situation and trying to work out how to get out of it. Right? You don't want to put yourself into... Right? So you need to read it beforehand. The fact that you read that book and understand and have a desire to make it work according to the way he set out how it should work, right? To look after your wife, to put her at number one, to compliment her, never to criticize, all those ideas. So that's it. You've now done the work. You're now, if you read that book, you're now in the top 0.001% of mankind and their marriages, right? They don't criticize their wife. To put her number one, that's it, right? You, right? No one else, right? So you're now way above. If you're thinking that I'm not ready for marriage, then you know, look around you, mate. No one else has that information that's in the palm of your hand, and they're all doing. Well, I'm not saying they're doing fine; they're doing terrible, but they're all married, right? And some of them are doing okay. So you don't need to have such a lot of preparation in order to make it work. You need to have the tools, the information on what to do, so pick up the book, and then a desire to implement it, that's all. You'll see the book is a book like this thick, but the book has like three basic ideas, right? Never to criticize, always to put your wife in first place, and to realize that she's your mirror, and that's pretty much it.
But isn't that when you already found the person that you're interested in courting or interested in getting married to?
It's a bit of a chicken and egg, meaning if you're ready, Hashem will bring you the right person. But if you're not ready, there's no point Hashem dangling someone in front of your face and then, well, what can I do with this? I can't do anything with it.
Yeah,
right? So, right? So better, the process would be, I would suggest, read the book and then start looking and then not worry too much about all the, I say this because I'm married and I'm not allowed to go through it again, but I didn't have it right. But and it's still good advice, and not to worry too much about all the imaginations that she has to be like this, and what would my friends say, and I could never date someone who's Moroccan, and I could never date someone who's Taimani, and she has to be exactly, she has to be from New York, just that has a background like me, so we can talk. Doesn't necessarily have to be. If you get on, you've got a cashier, you like her, tough. It's pretty much that, right? Oh. We might need a little
bit. There's so many different ways that you have a cashier with somebody, or you
that's
know,
hard,
there's so many different cash.
You're right. You're right. Look.
Right.
But it comes down. Largely, it comes down to emunah. At some point, you have to take the plunge.
Right.
It depends what point that is and how much.
So personally, that's what I think. That's what I'm lacking personally. But you know.
It comes with Amunah. I mean, Amunah says that it's all from Hashem. Mm-hmm. Right? The woman that Hashem puts in front of me is from Hashem. It's not mine. I didn't pick her. It's not for me to make a mistake. Right? We're very big on not making mistakes in anything, particularly in the biggest life decision ever. Yeah. I can't make a mistake. I ruin the whole of my life if I get it wrong. But it's not true.
But even
Hashem,
if you get it wrong,
Top, you can always fix. If you think you can break, you can always fix.
Once you get it wrong, and she's gone, she's married somebody else, and she has
children. But a person who thinks that I should marry doesn't want to get married because it might not be the right one.
Oh.
Right. So, yeah, and I don't want to make a mistake.
And then you can't get her back.
Yeah.
But
even
if you make a mistake, you just simply pick yourself up and start over again.
But what do we have to know? That Hashem is running the whole thing.
Exactly.
Right? Meaning that I can't make a mistake. I can't choose wrong. If I choose someone and we stand under the chuppah, it's because Hashem wanted me to be there standing under the chuppah. His choice, not mine.
At that point, whether you guys don't go through for the rest of your lives together, that's a different situation.
Rav Arash says it's because I didn't work on it.
Oh.
If I stood under the chuppah, she's my bashert, and even if she's the devil, then Hashem, my tikkun in this lifetime is to be married to the devil and make it work.
Right.
Because that's why Hashem's
giving. Then you have a second chance if it doesn't work with this person.
Meaning there's a person should never think that there's a second chance. Tob, b'di'evad, at the end of the day, that's what happened. But to go into the concept of divorce is like a, not to go into, but to generally speaking, is very, very much, not just like halakhically, it's not a good thing, but he says you're missing your whole tikkun. If Hashem gave you a difficult situation, because I've got a lot to work on, He wants you to work on yourself, cancel yourself, and make it work.
What about people that play around with the ketubas and stuff, and the prenups and those kind of things? Are you familiar with those?
A prenup, yeah.
So is it also thinking that maybe at one point in this relationship it might?
Yeah, look, we live in a strange world where people do stuff now like that, but if you can be a person that doesn't get involved in that, then it's because you've got emunah, right?
Right.
Then you write your... All a person's money is also, right, if Hashem wants me to give half of my life's earnings to this woman, or 90%, whatever the court to that, then that's what Hashem wants.
I hear in Israel it's a little bit more intense even, I think.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But whatever it is, it's not in Israel. It's like Hashem. If Hashem takes half my money away and gives it to my ex-spouse, that's what Hashem's doing. It's Hashem doing it. No one else.
Right.
So even that is fine. You know, I don't have a problem with it, and there's no point in me trying to circumvent Hashem. Right? You think Hashem's going to look at the prenup and go, oh.
So you know,
right, you've got me there. You got me with the prenup, sorry. Like, Hashem's going to take the money. Right? He wants to get something like, oh, stuffed by the lawyers, right? Hashem's like, what are we going to do with this?
So what do you mean? You just give up? You give all your faith and you just leave, you don't fight.
There's a time and a place for everything. My mind says there's a time and a place for everything. The person has to know in each situation what to do. But the bottom line is that Hashem is doing everything, and I don't need to worry either way.
But we have our own free will.
We have our own free will. Depends what how I choose to use that. I can use my own free will to see Hashem. That's the best use of my free will.
So why do we have free will?
Why? To choose good, to choose correct, to choose to see Hashem. To choose to see Hashem is the main reason we have free will. We can see Hashem in a situation, or we cannot see Hashem. Do I see Hashem running the show here? Or do I not see Him and I just see nature and I see people and I see other people and I blame other people, I blame myself, I blame situations? Or do I see Hashem? That's the main reason why we have free will. We can choose to see Hashem, and we can choose not to see Hashem. Hashem gives us that choice. 12:03, we'll finish there today. Thank you.